Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this first Sunday in Advent is taken from the Psalms, from Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, whose second coming we await as we again prepare for the celebration of his birth, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. It's official, except for the leftovers. Thanksgiving is done. I guess it's time to put away all the fall themes and put up the Christmas stuff. After all, we are now at the end of the runway leading up to Christmas. It's the first Sunday in Advent, and Advent is to be a time of preparation. We look forward to the annual celebration of Jesus' birth, and so we prepare for it. And we generally prepare for Christmas in a number of predictable ways. We listen to Christmas music. We bake certain seasonal foods. We look for gifts to purchase for one another to express our love. And we decorate. In fact, yesterday, a number of the ladies of Calvary, along with some helpers, gathered to decorate our place of worship here. Why? Why do we decorate this building? Isn't the cross and the other examples that we find in here enough? We need more? Is this just another example of our secular society and its celebration leaching into the church? It doesn't have to be. If our decorations are to serve any true spiritual purpose, then they should direct and remind us of Christ. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes our decorations don't have anything to do with Jesus. Some of our decorations have everything to do with traditions that we have taken up for ourselves. It's not necessarily wrong or right. Just pointing out that if our decorations don't serve to glorify Jesus and remind us of him, then they don't ultimately benefit our faith. What's more, this morning, I want you to consider that very often our decorations are only on the outside, external. What I mean is we prepare for the celebration of Jesus' birth by putting things up like wreaths and trees. We gather for Christmas dinners. We have parties and we put on Christmas-themed clothing. We hang lights, put up yard ornaments. We beautify the outside of our homes and our lives, but what about the inside? What about our hearts and minds? Do we prepare our hearts and minds for the celebration of Jesus' birth? Or do we think to ourselves, no one can see inside? Why change? Do we just decorate the outside and leave the heart as is? Why does it matter? In his familiar Christmas hymn, "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," Martin Luther wrote, "Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee." The personal prayer of Martin Luther in his hymn reminds us that the most important preparation leading up to Christmas, indeed the most important preparation of every day of the year, is to prepare our hearts for Jesus' habitation by confessing our sins and seeking God's forgiveness. It's also our personal desire, along with Martin Luther, that the Son of God come to rule in our hearts as King. So let's ask ourselves, if the Savior comes to knock at the door of our hearts, seeking to enter and to rule, what will he find? Will he find a dusty attic full of sins? Will he find one cluttered with personal pride and lust? What would he find sitting on the throne of our hearts? I guess what I'm asking is, are our hearts and minds a clean place for Christ to live and rule? I can only speak for myself. And my answer is often, no. Which is why we find the most important preparation for Christmas in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. It's not found in decoration, but in a revitalization, a cleansing worked by God the Holy Spirit through law and gospel. May God the Holy Spirit grant that we humble ourselves before him and bring the sacrifices that please him. They are more than decorations. They're broken spirits and contrite hearts. In order for that to happen, we pray. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. In our Wednesday evening Bible studies in the Psalms, we have learned that there is very often a context, a situation which led the Spirit of God to direct David or someone else to write a psalm. We're not always told what led to the writing of a psalm, but we are in this case. It had been a dark period in King David's life. We could say that there was a lot of junk in the attic of his mind. There were skeletons in the closet. He had harbored lust for another man's wife, which led ultimately to adultery and then to murder. And then he tried to cover it up, to shove it back in the attic of his mind, to cover up with a box or two. But his conscience did its job and gave him no rest. Finally, God sent the prophet Nathan to the king to tell him a story, this story. There were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink of his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan the prophet, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are the man." God revealed to David that what his conscience was telling him all along. God knew about the skeletons in his closet. And it isn't just David either. God knows about yours and mine. He knows when you harbor anger and hatred. He knows when you play with lust. He knows when you take pride in yourself. He knows about all the boxes that you have taped up and hidden in the closet of your minds, the attic of your heart. He knows that we think that it's all hidden away in there, and so we put off cleaning it up, throwing away the boxes, confessing our sins. And we can't make up for those sins either by concealing them behind other boxes that say on the outside of them, "Promising to do better. Gonna give God a little something this week. Doing something for him." King David tried, after all. He would know. No doubt he went up to the house of the Lord often to offer sacrifices, tried to make up for what he had done. But the blood of the animals did not take away the sin. He learned the hard way what the Spirit of God led him to write here. "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering." Now perhaps you're thinking to yourself, "Wait a second, Pastor. God did prescribe Old Testament sacrifices. He did delight in the sacrifice and the burnt offering. He says so himself in the Old Testament." True. when those sacrifices were brought in faith. God did accept them when people brought them confessing their sins and trusting in God's promise that in connection with the shedding of blood there was remission of sins, yes. But David wasn't sorry for his sin. No, his sacrifices were sacrifices of convenience, of going through the motions. He went up to offer his sacrifice, but it was all a sham because he didn't want to get rid of the boxes in the attic of his mind. So let's not make the same mistake by coming here as a pretense, being fake. Instead, let's not just decorate the outside of the house and leave the inside dusty and dirty. God, help us to bring the sacrifices that please Him. And what sacrifices are those? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Don't cover up your sin with decorations. God, help us instead to come honestly and confess our sins to Him. God, help us to seek His help daily, because there's no box, no sin, no matter how big and heavy, He cannot pick up and take away. After all, that's what He came to do. He entered the human race at Bethlehem to bear human sin and to bear guilt to Calvary and then onto the cross. He atoned for sins there, and they were forever buried in the tomb. Jesus came to give us relief in heart and in mind. He came to save us from ourselves, from our sins, and from our guilt. And so, yes, He would have us look into the mirror of His law and see who we are. Not good enough, not better than some, but people who have sinned against God. And when the Spirit of God creates this godly sorrow in us, that's when the Spirit of God also comes to comfort us, as the shepherds were once comforted by the angel, and as others comforted those in their sin. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Or Paul, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That isn't only the message of Lent. We find that message already here in Advent and in Christmas. Jesus comes to save sinners. He doesn't come to pat on the back those who think that they're good enough or not as bad as some others. Which is why true Christmas preparations begin when we stop decorating our hearts and ask the Spirit of God instead to purify them, to prepare them to be a fit dwelling place for the Savior. In fact, we might begin with the prayer of King David found in this very same psalm. It's familiar. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, "But my heart and mind is such a mess. I'm a lost cause. I filled my heart with so many boxes, so much junk." Listen once more to Jesus' invitation. It's for you. It's for all of us. He wants to trade His light burden for all your boxes. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And so, yes, we'll go on decorating our homes and this building. God help us that these decorations serve to remind us of Jesus and what he's done. More importantly, God grant that we begin each day by bringing broken spirits and contrite hearts to the Lord, for he promises those mercy and forgiveness. For so it is written, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." God grant us both. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.